the preaching of the cross. It is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For the preaching of the cross, it is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God.
Hello listeners, this is the Power of Endless Life, brought to you courtesy of Plumet Publishing, a Christian publishing house. Our goal on this program is to present to you Christ, His cross, and His church. I am your host, John Adichoro Olua. Glad to be back on this program again to bring the word of the Lord to you. We spoke last week on the issue of repentance, and we want to continue as what we did the last time we were here was to do the introduction of the message. Today we want to continue by reading the same scripture that we read from Acts chapter 17, verse 29 to 33. I read, "For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone, graven by art or man's device. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commanded all men everywhere to repent, because he had appointed a day in the which he would judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he had ordained, whereof he had given assurance unto all men in that he had raised him from the dead. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, and others said, we will hear thee again of this matter. So Paul departed from among them." Repentance. Again, I'd like to define for us what repentance means, and I will do that again by giving us a definition that is scriptural. We believe that scriptures interpret scriptures, and we believe that it will give us better understanding when we do this. So I go again to Isaiah 55 to help us understand the scriptural definition of repentance. And I read again from Isaiah 55 from verse 6 to 8. "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord. And he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord." So we see here that repentance involves that one who is going in his wicked ways and wicked deeds should forsake his way and forsake his thought, the unrighteous man, his thoughts. And we'll explain that our thoughts, they precede our actions. Before we take an action, we've thought about it. And so we're saying repentance involves both our ways and our thoughts, our reasoning, our imagination. And then repentance involves returning to the Lord, to return to the Lord, so that he can have mercy upon us. And in that verse 8, it says, "For your thoughts are not my thoughts, and your ways are not my ways." So repentance means returning to the Lord is to turn from my own ways, to turn from my own thoughts, and to turn to God's thoughts and God's ways. To be governed by God's way, to follow God's way, and to submit to God's thoughts. Because it's the same, God's thought is God's word. So that's what repentance is all about. And then we want to continue today and want to look at this other aspect, that repentance is demanded from everyone. That scripture we said that God is commanding all men everywhere to repent. For our understanding of this program, we want to divide this all men into about three categories. The first one I like to say is that God demands that people who are open sinners, who are wicked in their ways, they should return to the Lord. So that's the first set of people that I would like to present to you. The second set of people that I believe God also is asking to return and to repent are those who are religious sinners. They may be God-fearers, they fear God, they don't commit open sin or open wickedness, but yet God is saying they should repent and return. We will see this. We also define this and say, so there are those who are religious sinners and they are wicked in their ways. So I'm talking about two sides of this matter here. Those who are religious, but yet they are not openly evil, but God is demanding that they repent. And that those who are religious sinners and they are openly wicked with their religions, God is demanding that they repent. And then the third one we'll be looking at is those who claim to be born again Christians. And we will see how God also demands repentance where sin has been established in their lives. So these are the three categories of people that we shall be looking at. I'd like you to turn with me to the scriptures again as we take time to understand this. Please turn with me to the book of Jonah. Jonah chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. Say, now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. So the people of Nineveh, they were wicked, evil in all their ways. But yet God was sending a prophet to them to go and warn them of the judgment that was coming. So these were wicked, evil people. But God yet was sending his prophet to them to go and warn them of the judgment that was to come upon them. And then we see in chapter 3 that Jonah went there and preached the message of repentance to them. And I want you to understand, this is God's love. God is seeking to save. He's not willing that all should perish according to the scriptures. God is seeking that all men should turn. It is not your wickedness that will be the ultimate point of your judgment. It is that you do not turn from your wickedness. Well, we can see that example from this book of Jonah. God could have said to this city, to these people, away with them, let them perish. But God was sending people to them because God did not want them to perish. That's what we're saying on this message to you. Wherever you are, as you hear my voice, in your wickedness, God still loves you. And that's why he's sending us your way. It is not by accident that you've turned to your radio to hear me at this particular time. Like God sent Jonah to Nineveh, he's sending me to you. Even though in your wickedness, in your evil, God loves you. That's why he's sending to you. My prayer is that you will do like these people who returned, who repented. Because we go to chapter 3 of the same book of Jonah, I want to read. And Jonah began to enter into the city in this journey, and he cried and said, yet 40 days Nineveh shall be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on a sackcloth, from the greatest of them even to the least of them. For word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him, and covered him with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published throughout Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth, and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. So we see the repentance of these people in their wickedness. God sent Jonah to them to go and present the message of repentance to them. And we see the response of these people from their king, their noble ones, to everyone, even to their beasts. What was the response? They turned. That's verse 8. He said, let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn. Again, we come to that word. Repentance means to turn. Let them turn, every man, from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. Their evil way and their violent lifestyle. Killing, destroying, maiming, committing all sorts of evil. He said, let them turn. Like I said earlier, it is not your sin that will condemn you. It is your refusal to repent. It is your refusal to turn from your wicked and evil way that will bring the judgment of God. And my prayer, as you are hearing me this day, is that that same grace, that same spirit of repentance will be granted to you to turn from your wicked and your evil way to God. And it is very, Very important. I would like to also take you to another scripture, and that is the book of Acts. We're talking about God's mercy to a wicked person, a wicked generation. God's mercy to a wicked city. God is demanding and commanding every man, everywhere, to repent. And God is extending this grace to everyone. It's another time of God's mercy. Like he extended it to the people of Nineveh, he's extending it to us. God is not turning from us, but he's saying we should return and repent and turn from our own ways and turn to him. And I want to show you another instance when God extended mercy to a wicked person so that he can return from his sin. And I want to read from Acts chapter 8 from verse 9. It says, "But there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, 'This man is the great power of God.' And to him they had regard, because that for a long time he had bewitched them with sorceries." So this man was a sorcerer, a wicked man, an evil man, killing people, destroying people with sorcery. But yet God was showing him as in the city of Samaria. And it says here, verse 12, "When they believed Philip's preaching, the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus, the people of the city were baptized, both men and women." Verse 13, "Then Simon himself, this sorcerer, believed also, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wonder, beholding the miracles and the signs which were done." So we see this man, a wicked man, an evil man, holding people in bondage, in fear. Everybody feared him. And there are many people like that today. People fear him. They are wicked. They are evil. They practice sorcery, witchcrafting, evil, wickedness. They hold people in bondage. They are violent. They are evil. They kill. They murder. But that's not the issue. The issue is that God, even in this wickedness, is extending mercy to you. Is calling you to repentance, like he's doing for Simon here. But let's go on and see whether Simon repented. And in verse 8, it says, "And when Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hand, the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, 'Give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost.'" Verse 20, "But Peter said unto him, 'Thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God.'" What was the message again? Verse 22, "Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thoughts of thy heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity." Why was this man bitter? It was bitter because his power was being eroded. He would not be able to lord it over these people of this city. He pretended to have believed. He was baptized. But locked in his heart and lodged in his heart is his evil way, bitterness, evil and wickedness. Even when he had the opportunity to repent, when even in his sin, God offered him a way out. When there in the city where he had done wickedness, God was there through the preaching of Philip to bring repentance, but he would not. Therefore, Peter said to him that first thing, "Repent therefore." Repent. I said the same thing to you today. As you listen to me, repent. God's mercy is calling on you again to repent. Repent of your wickedness. Repent of your evil way. Let the wicked man forsake his way. And the righteous man, his thought, what was the thought lodging in the heart of this man? The thought was to continue to have a hold and control them and make money out of them so that they will continue to hear him. That thought has not been given up. That thought was still driving him. He still wanted to get power in another way, another means, to continue to lord it over the people. He refused to give up his thoughts. He refused to give up his way. And therefore, he was commanded to repent. But did he repent? No, because right there in verse 24, it said, Then answered Simon and said, "Pray ye to the Lord for me, that none of this thing which he has spoken come upon me." Instead of repenting, he was asking for prayer. There are many people like this today. Instead of repenting, they are going from one prayer house to another. They are praying, going from one church to another. They are going from one man of God, so to say, to another without repenting. And how many of us are demanding that people who come to us, they should repent? Even when we know they are in their wickedness, Do we demand that they should repent? I wonder if it were in that day that this man should come. So a man of God, I'm sure many of us would not have done like Peter did, demanding repentance. God is commanding every man everywhere to repent. This is an example, again, of godless man, an evil man, that God is extending repentance to. God commanding every man everywhere to repent. We have seen the example of Nineveh. God offering them repentance. God was saying, this is the way to escape. This is the way to escape judgment. God was offering them repentance. Please, let's look at the attitude again as we go back to that Acts 17. When God gives opportunity to many people, they do not repent. I pray that that will not be your portion. We go back to Acts 17. Even when Paul has preached to them, see what they say in verse 32. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked. That's what they did. They heard the message of repentance in this city of Athens. If you see then in verse 23 of this same chapter, Paul was saying, for as I passed by and behold your devotion, they were very devoted. I found that the altar with this description, to the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare unto you. And yet when this true way, true God was declared to them, in verse 32, like we read, the scripture says, some mocked. They mocked him. They said, what was he talking about? I pray that you will not mock today. I pray that God will grant you repentance. And some said, we will hear you later. They postponed the day of their repentance. The scripture said, today is the day of salvation. Tomorrow may be too late. And please, may you not postpone. May you not be like this man who mocked. May you not be like this man and women who postponed the day, who said, we will hear you later. Come at the convenient time. There are another man in the Bible like that who said to Paul, come at the convenient time. God is saying today is the day of salvation. There's a reason why God is reaching out to you. Even if the end does not come, your own end, you don't know when it's going to come. God is offering you this way out, the way of repentance, the way of turning to him, the way of righteousness, so that the judgment of God will not come. I also want to go back to the scripture as we begin to conclude. I want to show you the scripture again in Acts chapter 3 verse 19. And it says, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Repentance will lead to conversion. Confession from your way. Confession from your wickedness. So, because repentance without conversion is truly not a genuine repentance. And it says, when we repent, our sins shall be blotted out. Jesus died on the cross, that your sins may be forgiven. That's why the Bible says his name shall be called Jesus, because he shall save his people from their sin. But sin that is not confessed, sin that is not given up, can not be forgiven. And it says, when a man repents, a time of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Won't you want the presence of God upon your life? Won't you want God to have mercy upon you? Won't you God to pardon you? Won't you God to break the hold and the power of sin in your life? Won't you want God to take a break the hold of affliction, the sickness and diseases that has been brought into your home? Yeah, the confusion that has been brought into your marriage. Yeah, the separation. Yea, and the hardness that has been brought between you and your spouse. Won't you want God to visit you, to bring a refreshing into your home, into your relationship, into your life, by way of repentance? The scripture said, the way of peace they have not known. The way of peace is the way of repentance. Many are looking for peace outside repentance. And yet the scripture is showing us that God offers us peace. God offers us pardon. God offers us his blessing as we return to the Lord in repentance. I pray that as you listen to me today, that the Lord will grant you repentance, that the repentance will be your portion. The scripture says in Romans chapter 2, and I would like to read, as we are beginning to wind up, I want to read Romans chapter 2, which he says there, that repentance is the blessing of God. Romans 2 verse 4, he says, O despised thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. Please, let's pick those words. To despise the riches of his goodness. What is his goodness? His forbearance and his long-suffering. The scripture says, God will not will that anyone will perish, but God is giving time. God is long-suffering. God is forbearing. God is waiting. And do you not know that God is doing this so that his goodness will lead you to repentance? Some people confuse God's goodness for God's approval. Oh, you say, if God is not happy with me, why is he blessing me? Why is he blessing me? Why, in spite of all I have done, yeah, God is blessing me. I am pregnant. In spite of all I have done, God is blessing my business. That's the goodness of the Lord. That's the forbearance of God. God is waiting and hoping that one day you will turn. One day you will acknowledge his goodness, that he's been good to you, so that you can turn, so that you can repent. Yes, God is desiring that every man should repent anywhere, everywhere, and say, will you despise this goodness of the Lord? Will you take this forbearance of God for granted? Will you go on in your sin? Or will you change? Will you turn? Will you continue to take him for granted in your sin and in your way? I pray that you will not. As we bring this message again to you today, message of repentance, of turning to the Lord, of turning from our wicked ways, I pray that you will do like the people of Nineveh. Even the king and the noblemen of Nineveh, when they heard Jonah, the scripture says they repented. And I want to turn to Matthew 12, verse 41, what Jesus said about the ministry and about the day of Jonah in Nineveh. Matthew 12, and I want to read verse 40 and 41. This is what Jesus said. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and behold, a greater than Jonah is here. This is what Jesus said about the day of Jonah in Nineveh. And he said, greater than Jonah is here. May this generation not be judged. May we be a generation that will turn like the people of Nineveh and turn in repentance. And turn, it doesn't matter your position, like the king of Nineveh turned, like the noblemen of Nineveh turned and repented and poured ashes upon them and even denying their domestic animal from eating. Yet today is not to pour physical ashes upon ourselves, but to humble ourselves. It's a sign of humiliation for a man to tear his cloth, pour ashes upon himself. It's a sign in the ancient days of repentance. Today we may not have to do that, but repentance is an attitude. It's coming down from our exalted position, our exalted throne made by us, than where we are, and come down and humble ourselves and say, God, I have sinned. God, I repent. God, I turn to you from my wicked ways. God, I acknowledge my sin and my iniquity before you, that you may forgive me. I pray that the Lord will bless you. I pray that the message we have brought again to you today will be a blessing to you, that you will truly, truly turn in your heart. And I pray for you, Father, I pray for those who have heard me today, that Lord, your spirit will come upon them, that you will grant them repentance, that the spirit of repentance will visit them, that they will not be able to turn away from what you have spoken, that they will not despise the day of your visitation, that they will embrace your love like they did in Nineveh, that they will not do like Simon, who with all that you offered him, oh, to repent, he turned away without repentance. I pray that those who have heard me today, that this day will be a day of a new beginning for them. A new beginning in turning to you, in turning from their wicked ways, and turning from their unrighteous way, and turn to you. That you, the Lord, you may be gracious to them. Your power may visit them, breaking every yoke of sickness and diseases and the affliction that has come upon them. Yea, that be a restoration, a healing in their relationship as they turn to you. Thank you, Father, for hearing, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
This message, The Power of Endless Life, is brought to you courtesy Plummet Publishing, a Christian publishing house. You can call us on these phone numbers: 0803-392-2585 and 0706-389-0315. I take it again: 0803-392-2585, 0706-389-0315. You can also send us an email through the following email addresses: endlesslife@yahoo.com and endlesslife@gmail.com. I take it again: endlesslife@yahoo.com and endlesslife@gmail.com. You can also visit our website, www.plummetmission.org. The signature tune is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18 of King James Version. Thanks to our regular host, John Adejoroluwa, our producers and our sound engineers. Please join us again, same time next week, and God bless you.